Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the Creekside Room, today's speakers are Jonathan Betts and Rosie Zoll. They will be speaking on conscious living values, the second part. So due to some technical difficulties, tape will start within a minute. So let's listen on to Jonathan and Rosie.
The workshop that we're doing this morning, this is actually the second half of the workshop that we usually do in one two-hour stretch. We did the first half yesterday. We'll be reviewing some of that. Those of you who were here yesterday, well, you'll get a little review, and everybody else, you know, will get a chance to hear what we did. Actually, yesterday was the easy part. This is the harder part today. And we'll talk about some more about the... We'll go over our outline and give everybody a picture of what we're going to be doing. But the very first thing we want to do now is go around and have everybody say our names and where we're from. So just that's all we need to know at this point. And then, you know, we'll be discussing later on.
I'm Sue Johnson from Shelton, Washington.
I'm Shar Engstrom from Seattle, but before that I lived in Minnesota for most of my life.
Rita Yostead from Forest City, Iowa.
Melvin Dibvig from Milwaukee, Oregon.
Pauline Shaw from Kirkwood, Washington.
Karen Wilson from Spokane, Washington.
Sherry Zimmerman from Camp Washington.
Jim Zimmerman from Camp.
Leona Budd from Santa Maria, California.
Great. Thanks. Okay. We have a little bit of trouble naming this workshop. Because the title we used to work with was Voluntary Simplicity. We were actually active with a group that was promoting that in the mid-70s in San Francisco. And since then, the meaning got kind of chewed and spread out. It's gotten to be pretty vague just what that means. We still use that title some, just so people will have some idea what we're talking about, but it doesn't really quite express what we want to say. On our outline here, it says Alternative Lifestyles Workshop, but that is not exactly what we're doing either. So when it came time for us to specify what title we should put up here, we said Conscious Living, and that too, you know, could mean a lot of different things. So I'm sorry we have such trouble naming it. That sometimes is one of the hardest problems in life, is what to call things. But I think. As we go over what we intend to do, you'll get a picture of what we hope you'll get out of this. When we talk about alternative lifestyles, we talk about exploring practical concepts of living more simply so that others may simply live. You may have heard that phrase used. But we're real practical folks. We're not theologians. You know, we don't deal for... We can handle abstract ideas, but we don't really like to do that much. So what we're doing in this workshop is getting down to values and then seeing how they're applied to daily life, and how having clarified our values can actually help us in our daily lives, especially when we need to make decisions that we don't quite know how. That's the part we're going to do today. Our formal goal is we want more people to act in solidarity with the poor in the world through their daily choices, even though they don't see the effects immediately. We want to create ideas people can use, present some practical ideas, present ways people can generate their own ideas and share these ideas with others. And as I mentioned, oftentimes when we do things, we don't see the effect immediately. But we know that we do things for the right reason. We have faith that somehow our doing things will make a difference, even though, you know, there's no way we can prove it. Sometimes we latch on to, you know, the smallest of examples just to keep ourselves going. But it is that faith that keeps us going. So yesterday we did what we call a values exercise, where we shared a couple of examples of things that we're doing in our lives for reasons that are not economic, not economically rational, so to speak. They don't make money for us. The example I used was buying an electric car and no longer driving a gasoline-powered car, except when I have to go places the electric car can't go. And we gave quite a bit of discussion to that, but I don't want to do that again because we have to do other things today. And we talked about personal or altruistic motivations, which I think I've just kind of touched on there. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. I thought we could go on to...
Oh, the values list? Okay.
Yeah.
And then we had a brainstorm session to list out some of the values by which people would like to live. Okay, kind of see ourselves as good people living out these values. Then we had a little list of the values that we ourselves hold dear, you know, either from that list or generated by that list in our own minds. We had people write those down, and then we discussed actually making changes in our lives based on those values. That's as far as we got yesterday.
And so today we're going to sort of give you a chance to look at the great brainstorm that people came up with yesterday and add values that you live by if they're not reflected here. And then I think we will give you time to make a values list for yourself as well. Then we'll share examples from our lives, just in a general group, of changes that you might have made already to try to be more conscious of how you live in the world today. And then we have a method of decision making that can help you look, and maybe people here use it already. It's like making a list for yourself of all the questions that you could ask about a particular decision that you're making. And depending on the decision that you're planning to make, you would generate a different list of questions. And so we want to do that and perhaps give you some time to do that on a decision that you are currently making in your own life. So are there...
Can everybody see that list on it?
Can you read the list pretty well, this values list? And what we did yesterday was a brainstorm, and so people just listed, and there was no judgment on what people were saying. So people have, I know it's hard to read and see, but if you want to go ahead and say a couple things, a couple values that we live by, I can maybe remember whether they're here.
And if it's not clear what we're talking about, please say so. We'll try to clarify a little bit.
I'm thinking of something along the lines of ignoring advertising blitzes.
Ah, yeah.
I don't know if that's on there or not.
Not really, no. Yeah, why don't we now, and you people who were here yesterday can, I'm sure it won't be lost, this time won't be lost. Thinking about your values that you live by is always beneficial, even if it's 2 days in a row. So, John will give you a piece of paper, and who needs pencils?
I do.
And what we're doing is picking out the seven or eight most important. You know, it can be more, it can be fewer, but that's, people always ask us, how many should I pick? So, seven or eight is plenty.
I think doing it 2 days in a row, there are new ones out there.
Okay, so pick some new ones.
So what are we doing?
Look at the list and think about which values are really central for yourself, with which you would actually use in decision making, thinking of yourself at your best.
These are the decisions we mean are, they can be as minor as whether you're going to take the family to eat at McDonald's today, or whether you're going to volunteer to take on a job at church that will demand a night a week from you away from the family. Could be anything like that, or even more major than that. So what values do you seek to use when you're... My feeling is that, and I'll test the assumption, is that a lot of you have already made changes about this in this area of top area of thinking about life and trying to simplify and live justly in the world. Is that true? Pretty much. You know, simplify at least a few things. Food eating and TV watching. And I'd love it if we could have just a few minutes of sharing examples from your own life of changes that you have made to line up with your values.
Well, now that I'm alone and my family, I had a family of six children, but anyway, they're all gone and I'm alone. And I have a chance to express myself as I want it now because I don't like to have a TV on except my special program. And so I live very simply. Try to live by the rules of good health. So.
Great.
So as your children have moved out, you felt freer to lay aside some of the things that you were using when you had them with you. So you no longer need to watch to have the television on all the time, except when you really want it to be on.
Yeah.
Right.
And my daughter, Janice Stockholm, is here, doesn't have a TV, and they have music continually.
Yeah, I know.
In the house, and they read the papers. I read the papers, but anyway, I think that's good because they don't get a lot of this garbage.
Yes. Yeah. So your daughter and son-in-law, or is it the other way, really choose to limit the outside influences that come in order to not to be sucked into all the garbage like it's in the newspapers.
Right.
That's good. That's good. And do alternative, really community building stuff like music.
Yesterday we did give making your own entertainment as one of the major examples of a lot of these values. Actually, self-determination of your life direction. You choose what music you do. You know, you don't depend on whatever the radio feeds you. And particularly television. You don't deal with any of the mindless stuff that gets put on television.
There's examples.
Trying to eat responsibly, but also to exercise and take care of your body in that way. I've had a lot of health problems that can be adjusted with medication, but I would much prefer to do the exercise and everything and take the medication as a last resort instead of a first resort. So.
So you could call that a more natural approach to life.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a matter of taking the time for that, too. I mean, you have to set aside other things, but it's simplifying in a way that your lifestyle isn't so busy that you don't have time to do these things, and so you reach for the medication instead.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so this is an excellent example of what we mean when you say conscious living. You've actually thought about why you're doing these things, and it helps you. It helps you stay clear.
I was brought up in a very strict black and white family, and you know, there were very little compromises and very little moderation of anything. And so when we had our four kids and they were young, I did let them watch certain television programs, but not a lot. Although we had friends who thought that we were going way overboard by letting them watch Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And I said, I think they've got enough sense that it's going to burn itself out. And it did. By the time the kids were 7 or 8, the TV was hardly ever on. And then when they were teenagers, they might watch one show a week. And now that we have just three at home, the TV's hard to get on. And so that was kind of neat. I mean, I watch 22 shows a month, and the kids will watch very little. My husband may watch the news now and then. But we do read the newspapers. We're all avid newspaper readers because that's my background. I've worked on several papers. I love to see the different styles and compare and that kind of thing. So moderation, I think, rather than being totally one or the other, because I've seen the damage that it's done in my family to be, you know, all this way. Or, you know, radicalism, I guess, frightens me a lot. Unless you're radical for Jesus, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe then you've got some real loonies out there.
We just moved to a new community about a year ago, and one of the things that I think was is different with us is that it's been sort of a conscious effort not to get sucked into the neighborhood where we live, and everybody sort of keeps their lawn perfectly green and sprays a lot of stuff on their lawn, and we have and also use a lot of water to keep their lawns green, and it's been sort of a conscious effort on our part to do things the way we feel are, you know, more in keeping with the respect of the environment, and that involves using more organic ways of, you know, keeping lawns green and not spraying our vegetables. And well, this is also part of our children focus too, is having a garden that is where we don't use sprays, and we try to use more organic ways of or pest control. And also I was just thinking about respect for the environment. Also we recycle, and when we lived in Seattle we had these nice curbside recycling things. Now our garage is sort of covered with this mess of recycling, and we just don't live in a very neat environment. That's sort of one of the compromises we've made to our sort of doing some of these things. You know, it's just people were talking about taking time. It takes time to do a lot of these things, yeah. And you just have to say that's a priority, and it isn't really maybe economical or something, or it doesn't look that nice, but I think it's more healthy in the long run.
yeah.
And it's also our way, since we're very children focused right now, to do a little part of the, you know, the whole thing, and because we can't be as community involved right now when our kids are growing up. We can in some ways, but not as much as we
yes.
can be.
One of the things that I like about all these small changes that we try to make is that we try to become conscious that the saying about the seventh generation, think about the seventh generation with whatever you do today, so that your piece of earth will be a lot healthier in seven generations than your neighbors. And maybe they will begin to switch over. Our neighborhood actually switched over in the last 8 years from everybody having their lawn green and us having the brown lawn we don't water in the summer because we don't think we should use that much water, to everybody having brown lawns, and thank God. So we hope that we're going to make a difference. Does somebody have one more example that they'd like to share right now?
I have one that I put down up there that I added a little bit to it. It was protect, and I added to nurture family relationships. And I am a single person and have never been married and have no children of my own, but I have three sets of nieces and nephews. And this summer I had an occasion to have each of them and their own families come and stay with me for 3 days. I had one set of two nieces and a nephew, and then a niece and a nephew. And I really made a conscious effort to have that be a positive image building time for them, because at home, it's, you know, it gets real chaotic, and most of both parents work, and I just wanted this to be really concentrated on them, and it was really fun for me to give them that focus, and they really enjoyed it, I think, and had a really good time. But it was really emphasized on them. We even played a game called the positive game, where we have to go around and concentrate on one person at a time and say what we like about that person, and they cannot be any negatives in there at all. And to hear a sibling say something good to another sibling is something that just usually doesn't happen. And it means so much to them. I mean, it was very heartwarming to see their eyes light up when their brother would say, "I really like this about you." And so that was really neat. And I've made a conscious effort to be kind of a role model to them.
Along with you. Ants are the most wonderful thing in the world.
Okay. Well, you guys are really experts already. I mean, it's like one of those S seminars where they say you didn't really need to come here, you understood already. you already know what you're doing. And that's what I have to say with all the examples that have been given. You know, you're already doing what we came to tell you about. However, we do have this one method that I think you might find useful and may make things even a little bit easier. This comes from the Quaker tradition. And it's basically, we don't have a creed that people have to sign up for, basically, or sort of declare that they believe in, at least not a verbal one. It's what we ask people to do is act in certain ways. Generally when people act in these ways, they do in fact pretty much believe all the same kinds of things, but that's not the way we're structured. But so the way we do ask people to act is through a series of questions called the queries. Just another word for queries. Q-U-E-R-I-E-S. It's just another word for questions. And these have to do with, are we living in ways that support our families, that kind of thing. It's just, and so what we call is the question asking method of decision making is developing for yourself a set of queries that will help you to make decisions when you don't know what to do. Like, if you do come from a background where you felt real supported and you support those values, then you don't need to do this as much. Well, let me just give you examples. I'll probably be clearer than trying to explain anymore. Okay, I have this reputation around my household, a person who just cannot say no to any request for volunteering. I'm sure that you may know people like this, you may be one yourself. And so I have had to develop a set of questions for myself that so I'm sometimes more successful than other times at applying. Okay, so someone asked me to come and do something. I have a set of questions I supposedly ask myself, saying, how much time is this job really going to require, as opposed to how much is being promised it will require? How does it fit into my current schedule, which I've already tried to focus as much as I can on my basic values, as we were just doing in that exercise? And then I have to ask myself, does this fit into my already established priorities? Is this part of my priority work? That's the hardest one for me, because so many things are so exciting. How is this going to affect my family? My family's a real high value for me. I can actually give you another kind of query-generating example of that. And how is it going to affect me? Is it going to really drain me a lot, or am I going to be energized by doing this? That sounds selfish, but we're talking about sustainable lifestyle here. This is something I can keep on doing for a while and do not expect to burn myself out at the age of 50. That's an example of the kind of thing I mean. I hope it's clear enough in terms of what I've been trying to talk about. These are actually a little bit more specific than friends' queries. Friends' queries tend to be somewhat more general. Sometimes I'd like to sharpen them up a bit. But it's basically how we do things. So, do you all kind of get the idea of how that might work? Okay, because what we're going to try to do... Actually, let me give you the other example I wanted to, because the idea of connecting with family really, really brought this up for me, too.
Yeah, I was thinking, could we do this example and have people think of what questions they should ask around?
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay. You can think of questions for me, based on what we've got up here. I'd rather give you my little set of values first. These are the ones I put down. Eco-focus, family support, spiritual grounding, caring, and peace and justice.
I don't know about this question.
But just use the section of the whiteboard.
Yeah.
So this lower section down here. Okay, we are, for further background, our family, my family is in Southern California, most of Rosie's family is around Philadelphia. Family focus is a real major value for me. So, well, okay, let's go ahead with the questions. What kind of questions do you think I would generate for myself based on those values and these circumstances? Oh, and we have a really limited time for vacations, basically the last 2 weeks of August.
Okay, so, but we want these questions not to be whether you should do it, but...
What kind? What should be the...
For how?
Terminators, yeah.
You want how? What mode of transportation?
Right.
Okay, how would you travel?
Maybe we should know how many there are in your family. Are you thinking of you or 7 people? Or?
Let's see, 2 adults, 2 teenagers.
I would think a major question would be, do you want to focus on your immediate family, or do you want to include extended family? And if so, which members of that extended family have priority at this point? What other opportunities during the year would you have to spend time or activity with members of extended family? If your family in California would want to come spend a month with you, you may not at this point want to include them in your 2 weeks.
Right.
Extended family has perhaps parents, grandparents who are very elderly and maybe ill, and you might not have another chance to be with them.
So, health status maybe.
Ah, good. That's good.
Where would you stay? Do you camp? Do you stay in a motel? Do you stay with family?
Right.
Questions like, can this vacation be combined with some service project? Like bringing our old clothes to that family on the way that has adopted the only handicapped kids.
Right, that's right. So, yeah.
Interests of your teenagers. There's always the mercenary aspect. How much do you want to expand?
I just put dollars on it.
Hate to bring that up, but it.
Right.
At our house, okay. Would be important.
Right. Well, we're not going to do a complete list here, but this is an excellent set of examples. Again, obviously, experts are. Maybe experts isn't the right word, but you get the idea.
So I just put down, like, is it
low on
can we be low on the resource chain as we go?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But does everybody get the idea of what we're doing and how we're doing it? Okay.
So we have 20 minutes. We were thinking that that you might like to take a few minutes to think of the decision that you're trying to make. And work with another person on thinking of questions. Share what your decision that you're trying to make is, get with the person, another person who's not necessarily your spouse or best friend, and let help each other form questions that can help you make that decision. So, yeah, pair up, and then we'll give you a minute to think about what some decision that you're making in your life.
I think of one, I guess. How about you? Do you have a decision to face? I guess we better do something in that, huh? Made it. So good about it, Stir, huh?
So I'll give you like 4 minutes for one person to think, or it'll be eight or 10 minutes altogether. So.
Well, we have a decision to make about how to replace one of our Macintosh computers. We have two at home because I do a newsletter at home, and then our kids are always using them for school. And so our daughter, who's going to school next year, we told her she can take the smaller of the two and the smaller of the two printers. But that leaves us with just one. And so we're looking into ways to buy a used small computer. But on the other hand, as I was telling Karen, if for a few $100 more we can get a more upgraded one that's faster and more capacity, maybe that would be the wisest thing to do.
So what kind of questions did you generate to think about that?
Got such a headache today.
She had worked through most of these already.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But the one she didn't maybe think of was rather than where can I buy a good used one would be where could I go to be proactive and tell them what I need and pick up like an advertisement firm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had some excellent ideas about
maybe to go to someone who would be getting rid of one, or she could get one with more power. And,
I hadn't even considered that.
Yeah.
But, do they seriously sell? Some just recently, real inexpensively.
Where?
At
Boeing.
Yeah. Do you have to be an employee or just know someone?
No. I'll have to. Someone from Boeing is coming Wednesday from our church, and I know our church got one through him, so we'll have to see.
You don't have to be a Boeing person.
Excellent. Thank you.
A warehouse.
There's
a warehouse.
I think they got rid of all theirs or something. They can.
But do they do Mac? Do they use Macintoshes?
So that I don't
know. One that we consider. It's worth trying finding out, though. Thank you.
You might know.
Thanks. Does anyone else want to share if the questions are generated as a result of?
We had problems, but I don't think that's what the question is. We were just talking about.
I think that's the use of time and a young mother and a little bit older mother here, and working part time, and then going to our, we're on the outside working and coming into home and transitions. And just started to get into a nice conversation.
They take forever.
All your life.
We get here all the time.
That question of time is one of the main things. If you simplify your life, often it goes in combination with earning less money. And earning less money makes you need more time to do the things that you could have done with $10 before. So that it's a time when you simplify your life and live on less income, you have more time because you're not working as much outside the home, perhaps. But you also use more time for your daily living instead of just vegetating, which is a good way to become present to every minute.
We want to be sure and bring in some social justice implications here. We did talk at the beginning about wanting to make kind of conscious choices that will support the things that we stand for as spiritual people. Here, all spiritual traditions means, you know, sharing of self, giving for others, and for a lot of us, kind of global justice sort of thoughts. So rather than discuss it at any length, what I'd like you to do is just take a minute and think about how some of these, you know, these defining values and then generating questions for yourself could have implications for global justice or even local community justice. Again, this is something we invite you to do continually. Just every so often when you have a minute, think about what's going on in your life. Just reflect on it. And, you know, put yourself in the bigger picture with the help of these value-based questions. Okay. Just two more quick things we'd like to ask before we close. One is to evaluate this workshop. Just tell us what you liked about it and what we could have done better. And the other is, we'll sing a closing song at the end. So how about...
No, I'll put them down here.
Cover
pen
bag.
Thanks.
Okay, so what went well about this workshop for you?
Well, I came in second day and I felt very comfortable. I just felt really comfortable. I didn't really know what to expect. I also wish there would maybe have been a little more time to share a little bit more. Maybe you did that yesterday. Actual practical kind of things.
Oh, actually what we did was refer to books that you can find in the library.
We'd also love to talk with you anytime.
Could I mention one? It doesn't have anything to do with the topic. Well, it has to do with the large topic, but something our church has done two or three times in the past couple of years is called a gun sale. And we encourage people in the congregation to bring things such as they get to sell at a garage sale. And we organized it at a fellowship hall. Blanketed the neighborhood, which is a low-income neighborhood, with ads about this. You know, these things are free, you're welcome to come, etc. And we didn't get a fantastic turnout, unfortunately, because the idea is so radical. Mm-hmm. But we're hoping next time that we'll get some newspaper coverage. And the idea was taken partly from the idea in the Old Testament, where the prophet says, come everyone who thirsts, take without money, and that kind of thing. These are all things that people, could share. And I still think it was an excellent idea. We're just going to do it a little differently next time.
Okay. Well, either one. What did we do well this time, or what could we do better next time?
Have it more days.
Okay.
I think having the sharing, even though it looks like all of us have made some changes, they always learn from what other people have to say about the changes that they have made.
Right.
And so that's beneficial. And I've been here for both days, and it's been pretty good.
I wasn't here yesterday, but Sue shared with me what you did yesterday. So I learned from that, too.
It's so hard to think of what our values are, but when we got new people, we got some of their ideas were just what I was thinking, but couldn't say. So it's
yes.
So it's
yes.
Nice to have new people.
And,
So that's good to stress that, you know, it doesn't have to be the same group.
Yeah. Having such a diverse list also makes people realize that these values will be different for different families. We talked about, we have a group in our church, a small group called Deliberate Living. And in our formation meeting, we talked about the differences. And one of the decisions we've made is to drive our cars and take care of them until they absolutely can't be fixed. We have a 71 Datsun, that's our oldest one. Our newest one is an 83. But, you know, that's one of our values. Somebody else absolutely has to have, because of her job, you know, a very updated car. Whereas she doesn't use a computer, wouldn't want one, and I said, don't you touch my computer. So, you know, different values for different things, and neither is right nor wrong.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing all these wonderful ideas with us. We hope you got somewhat of a framework for working with ideas in the future in a way that's not real hairy and abstract, but we hope it relates real closely to your actual life as you live it. So we'd like to hold hands in a circle and sing this song.